Go with me, if you would, back to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. We're going to look at the first 12 verses that our brother just read for us. And a lot is said in these 12 verses. But I want us to focus on two things specifically. We're going to look at this and we're going to focus on two things specifically that our Lord said. Because these two statements make up the most critical message that any man or woman could ever hear. Look with me at verse 1. It says, "The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven." You may find it interesting to know that the Pharisees and the Sadducees couldn't stand each other. All right? The Pharisees were standard free will, work your way to heaven, lost, false religionists. That was the Pharisees. To read about them whenever you read in a Bible dictionary, a concordance, to read about them perfectly describes false religion today. I mean, it's just a perfect picture of false religion today. They thought they had the ability to keep the law. Now, I wrote in my notes right there, Selah. Pause and think about that for a minute. Okay? They thought, the Pharisees thought, that they actually had the ability to obey the commandments of the law. And they thought that keeping the law was salvation. That's what they thought. They thought they had the ability to do the commandments of the law. And they thought keeping the law was salvation. All right, now, reading about them says that they really held more to their own traditions than God's law, which sounds like false religion. I tell you where men and women go wrong, and but for the grace of God, all would go wrong. It's we veer from this word and we start adding things to it and taking things from it. I don't like that. Let's take that out. I think it'd be better if we add this to it rather than the word alone. The Pharisees held to their traditions more so than God's law even. They were very snooty, very judgmental, very self-righteous, very better than you. Very sickening. They were very sickening. Riding pride all the way to heaven, they thought. Okay? The Pharisees were the false religious ones. The Sadducees were basically atheists. They didn't believe in God. They didn't believe in eternity. They didn't believe in any kind of afterlife, any kind of resurrection. They didn't believe in heaven. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in any of it. And they thought the Pharisees were hypocrites. False religion hypocrites. And the Pharisees thought they, the Sadducees, were of the devil. They didn't believe in any of it. And they all hated each other. They just hated each other. And they couldn't come together and agree on anything except their hatred of this man, Jesus Christ. They both hated Jesus Christ. The false religious ones and the atheists, they both hated Jesus Christ because of who He said He was. God come down, manifest in the flesh. They came together on those grounds of their hatred for Him. They came together just fine right there. So verse 1 says, "The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired Him that He would show them a sign from heaven. They said, 'If what you're saying is so, concerning God's sovereignty, concerning God being God.'" When a lot of people ask me, you know, what do y'all believe there? First thing I tell them is we believe God is God. I mean God. God's sovereignty. And they said, "If what you're saying is so concerning man's inability, absolute inability, and God choosing a particular people to save, and God completely supplying that salvation, God doing all the work to accomplish that salvation, and all the glory for all things being owed to Him alone," they said, "if all that's true, then you show us a sign from heaven." Verse 2. "He answered and said unto them, 'When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times?'" He said, "You can tell what the weather's going to be like." That old saying, you know, red sky in morning, sailor take warning. Red sky at night, sailor's delight. But he said, "Can you not discern the signs of the times?" Verse 4, "A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed." He said, "The only sign that will ever be given is the sign of Jonah being in the belly of that whale for 3 days and three nights." Now hold on to that thought for just a second and let's continue reading. Okay, verse 5 says, "And when His disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, 'Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees.' And they reasoned among themselves, saying, 'It's because we have taken no bread.'" They said, "Why did He say leaven? We forgot bread again." Verse 8, "Which when Jesus perceived, He said unto them, 'O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that He bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." Now, our Lord said two things right here. Number one, He said the only sign that will ever be given is the sign of Jonah. What did Jonah in the belly of that whale represent? Jesus Christ crucified. Our Lord said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. He said, the only thing that will ever be revealed from heaven concerning God's will and God's purpose and God's work and God's mercy and God's grace in the salvation of God's chosen sinners is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If we want to know something of God's will, the thing about God. We want to know something of God's purpose. What has God purposed to do? If we want to know something of God's work and God's way and His mercy and grace, then all we have to do is look at Jesus Christ crucified. The Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. All right, so that's the first thing He said. And then the second thing He said was, you had better beware of every message that is contrary to and turns your eyes away from the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He said, beware of the doctrine of false religion. I pray that the Lord will let this sink in to me, to us, honestly. The Apostle Paul spoke on behalf of every true preacher of God when he said this. He spoke on behalf of every true preacher of God when he said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. He said, I have determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He said, there's no other message to preach because there is no other gospel. If any man or even any angel from heaven tries to preach anything other, any other doctrine, any other gospel than the only true gospel that there is, cursed is that man. Cursed is that man. In a day when everybody is just so, you know, okay, well, what you believe that, that's fine. I believe this, that's fine. We're all going to the same place. And cursed. Cursed. Christ said, beware. I know that's probably what John Smith says or whoever, but Christ said, beware. There's no other revelation given. No other way given than the good news way of Christ, the gospel way of Christ. Every man who stands up to preach needs to realize, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Woe is unto me if I end up preaching the doctrine of false religion. And I tell you this, woe is unto you if you end up hearing and believing and clinging to the message of false religion. For that reason, my aim and my desire for this message is, by the end of this message, I want us to understand the difference between the gospel and false religion. I want us to understand the difference between the truth and a lie. What it is to preach and hear the truth, and what it is to preach and hear a lie. I've titled this message, Beware of False Religion. Beware of False Religion. Now, I want to try to be as plain about this as I can be. I'm going to try not to take too long because I want to get to the point, make it clear, and be done. That's my goal. All right? Let me start with some examples of what false religion sounds like. Okay? If you will obey the commandments of the Bible, you'll be saved. If you give your heart to Jesus, you'll be saved. If you accept Him into your heart, you'll be saved. If you confess Him in baptism, you'll be saved. If you'll come down to the front and say the sinner's prayer, you'll be saved. If you'll go into a little booth and confess your sins to another man, you'll be saved. If you will stop sinning, you'll be saved. All of that is false religion. And all of that is a lie. None of that is true. None of that's true. And here's how you can recognize this for yourself, okay? As you listen to preaching and preachers, you will know the lie of false religion. You'll be able to recognize it. You'll be able to tell whether or not it's false religion by these two little words right here. If you. Okay? If you. Everything that I just said to you right there started with, if you. That's the lie of false religion. If you're hearing that and believing that and clinging to that and holding on to that, then you're holding on to a false religion. And if I'm doing that, I'm holding on to a false religion. May God in His mercy set me free from it. Caused me to let it go and cling to Christ. It doesn't matter whether it starts with if you or ends with if you. If you hear a man say, now salvation is of the Lord. Christ died to save you. And He wants you to be saved. If you'll let Him. If you'll believe on Him. He did the work, but it won't be applied unless you. That's false religion. That's a lie. The lie of false religion is if you. The truth of the gospel is if God. That's the truth of the gospel. The lie of false religion says you must. The truth of the gospel says He must. And He will, because He already has. The lie of false religion says it's your work. What are you going to do? It's your work. The truth of the gospel cries it's His work. Thank God it's His work. The lie of false religion says do. The truth of the gospel cries done. It's done. It's complete. It's finished. Rest. Do we see the difference in that? It's done. Let me show you some scriptures to prove this to us. I can say that. Let me prove it to us. All right. Through these scriptures, I want us to see what is the gospel concerning, who's the gospel to, and what does the gospel declare. Okay. Turn with me, if you would, to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 1. It says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The gospel concerns Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The gospel subject matter is Jesus Christ. To talk about Him is to talk about the gospel. If we're not talking about Him, we're not talking about the gospel. If I'm talking about me or I'm talking about you, I'm not talking about the gospel. I may be preaching the truth concerning our sinful condition, the deadness of our flesh. I may be speaking truths. That's true. I'm a dead in trespasses and sins sinner. That's not good news to me. If I'm going to preach the gospel, I have to talk about Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. I have to talk about who He is, what He has done, who He did it for, why He did it, where He is now because of it. The gospel is concerning Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus Christ. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 1. Romans 1 verse 1 says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Verse 3 says, concerning His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. He said the gospel of God is concerning His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Who He is, what He did. That's what he stated right there. He said, God came down, accomplished what He came to do, and went back up. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. God came down. God manifest in the flesh. Call His name Jesus because He's going to save His people from their sins. And He did it. He did it. Don't let any man stand up and tell you that you have to do the work that it's going to take to save you from your sins. If Christ did it, it's done. And if you still have to do it, He didn't do it, and He's a failure. But He's not a failure. He came down and He accomplished what He came to do, and then He went back up and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. He ever lives now to make intercession for the people He saved. Verse 9 right here, Romans 1 verse 9 says, For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son. The gospel is all about the Son. Verse 16, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. If we're going to preach, hear, and believe the true gospel of God, then we must be on the subject of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Otherwise, we're not going to be on the subject of the gospel. If we're preaching a salvation or a hope in anything else or anyone else, then we are preaching and holding to false religion. May God deliver us. May He deliver us from that. There's no salvation in false religion. None. The doctrine of man. Christ said, let's beware. Let's beware. Stay on Christ. Stay on the gospel that concerns Him. The salvation He's accomplished for His people. Let's glory in it. Rejoice in it. Preach it. Hear it. Believe it. Cling to it. Now, who are His people? Who is the gospel to? Turn with me to Luke 4. Luke 4, verse 18 says, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. He said, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Who is the gospel to? It's to sinners. It is to sinners. It's to poor, wretched, miserable, blind, captive sinners who cannot do what false religion tells them they have to do. Just cannot do it. When the commandment of God's law is declared, this commandment says, if you do this, you'll live. The commandment of God's law says, if a person hears that and says, okay, I can do that. I think I can do that. All I have to do, like that rich young ruler, well, I've done that from my youth up. Okay, I can do that. If that's a response of a particular person, the gospel's not to that person. The law is to that person. If a person says, I hear the law and I can do it, okay, then the law is to that person. If a person says in his or her heart and truly believes, I'm not poor, I'm not spiritually poor. There are many people who will say this. I'm not spiritually brokenhearted. I'm not captive. Are you captive? No. I'm not blind. Don't you say I'm blind. Let me just go ahead and tell you, I'm blind in my flesh. But for the grace of God, revealing, opening, continually, daily, I'm blind. Anyone who says, I'm not bound, I'm not bruised, well, the gospel's not to that person. But if after hearing the commandments of God's law, that says, if you have to do this, and you can't do that. If a person hears that and says, I can't. Have you ever been there? You read something, if you'll do this, and you think in your mind and your heart, I can't do that. I can't hold to that. I haven't held to that. I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all. In myself, I have no hope. If I'm looking right here, I don't see any hope here. I can't buy and eat. I'm poor. I can't lay hold of Christ. I'm broken. I can't come to Him. I'm captive. I can't even see God. I'm so blind. I'm so spiritually blind. Bound and bruised in the deadness of my sin. To that person, the gospel says, Christ came down here and did all that for you. He took care of all that for you. That's who the gospel is to. Those who desperately need the good news of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. All who find such relief in hearing Christ took care of it. Christ took care of it. And I don't need to. And that's a good thing because I can't. To every soul that the gospel comes to, that's what the gospel declares. Christ took care of it. It declares the finished work of Christ. Salvation complete. This is the gospel message today. And it'll go out, and only those who God puts faith in to believe will believe this. I used to fear, I've said this to y'all so many times, I used to fear giving a false hope. I didn't want to give anybody a false hope. And then the Lord revealed to me, I can't. The only way a person can believe the promises of God is if God puts faith in that soul to believe it. In Christ, your salvation is finished. You are complete in Him. There's nothing else for you to do because He did it all. And He paid it all. And He has secured it all. And He's going to keep you no matter how sinful you are. And no matter how just you beat on yourself and you just hate yourself for the wretched state that you are, Christ has covered you in His blood. And He has robed you in the spotless righteousness of all His good deeds. And God is happy with you in Him. And you're not going to be lost. If God puts faith in us to believe that message, we're a blessed people. We've received the gospel. We've received the gospel, the finished work of Christ, all the mercy and righteousness and grace that there is from God in Him. Acts 20:24 says it's the gospel of grace. Romans 10:15 says it's the gospel of peace. Isn't the gospel so peaceful? Religion, false religion, has everybody so worked up and stirred up and just got to get out there and do for Jesus and then you come in here and the gospel says, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you. Just relax. It's so peaceful. Brethren, let's beware. Let's beware. Let's pay attention to what we hear, what we believe in our hearts, what we trust in. If it's anything other than, anything added to, anything taken from the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ alone, it's a false doctrine. It's false religion. To know Christ is to know the truth. And if we know the truth will set us free. If we know Christ, we know everything we need to know. We have all the wisdom we need, all the righteousness we need, all the sanctification we need, all the redemption we need. To have Him is to have it all. And I'll end with this, okay? I read this to you often. But this is a wonderful summary of what it is to preach and to hear and to believe and to cling to and trust in the gospel. This is the gospel. The true doctrine of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I don't know who wrote this, but it says, there is a holy God that I cannot please, but Christ did. There is a holy law that I cannot keep, but Christ did. There is a perfect righteousness that I cannot earn, but Christ did. There is a convicting record of sin that I cannot erase, but Christ did. There's a great judgment that I cannot endure, but Christ did. And there is an eternal death that I cannot rise from, but Christ did. And if He's made to be my all and in all, He'll raise me up with Him at the last day. Our Lord said, stay right there. Stay right there. May God give us the ability to do so. All right.